Greetings in the light and love of the one divine source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. You know, our shows are really about self-realization. It's for those souls who have come back in time, who have volunteered, and are here to be part of the transformation of this earth into a new dimensional outpicturing. So we cut to the chase. We work with issues that have to do with integrating divine awareness and walking in that state consistently. We try to reveal the various approaches and keys and lenses through which we can view our life to make it more pristine in the divine outpicturing so that we can be more truly representative of who and what we are. And so that which is our gifting, our unique spiritual essence, may be imparted into this particular time, space, and historical continuum in which we find ourselves. So tonight, our topic is gods behaving humanly. And therein lies the rub, because it's because we are divine beings, and yet we are seemingly more intent upon behaving as humans than we are to behave divinely, that we find ourselves in the messes that we find ourselves in. All of the levels beneath our divinity are divinely designed to only function within a certain realm. This is why with each dimension that you find yourself moving in, you have to operate in a new way, and you have to learn the new universal protocols within that dimensional overlay. And so all you have to do to show up in the third dimension is be a divine being pretending and behaving humanly. And here you are. So like it or not, we are in a world now that is in, actually it's our prayer being answered. We're in a world now which is actually meeting us at our evocative demand for change and for a new way of living and being on this planet. And we're just going to have to put up with what goes along with that change, which is the complete uprooting of everything that we have heretofore funded our lives through and upon. And if you look at it as the answer to our prayer and a temporary inconvenience, you'll probably face it in a more positive way than if you try to approach it from a negative and ego-based fear state. So anyway, let's begin our evening with an integrative exercise, a little meditative process. So as usual, take a deep breath. And be very aware that in highest truth you've never left Source. It's impossible for you to separate from yourself as a divine whole being. And it's not possible for you to separate from God. It is not possible for you to depart original perfection and innocence, an all embrace of love and grace. That is who you are. That is the warp and woof of your existence. You are that eternal divine one that simply is. So in that state, flood every level of your being, your mind, your emotions, your imagination, the cellular and neural circuitry that constitute your ionic field that you associate with as your body. Be aware it is a field of ions, electrons, masses of energy conditioned by your beliefs, your feelings, your habitual patterns of thought, and emotion. That's all. Just conditioned energy. And you, as the I am that I am within this energetic matrix, at any point can shift it. It's your divine right and prerogative to do so. You can rearrange the dynamics of your life by your own will to do so. Your will is God's will, devoid of human agenda. So as you breathe in and out with great mindfulness, relishing the silence that rings with the sound current in your head. I love to listen to the sound, the divine melodies that play in the inner consciousness, that ringing and singing and cricket chirping and sounds that you hear inside in the center of your head between your ears. That is the living word of God. That is the real word of God that spoke you into existence, that spoke everything into existence. So consciously attuned to the living word within you. That is God, that is not a Brahman, that is Shabd, that is the divine sound current. And now be aware that the firings of electrical life, the phlogistic life, that courses through your bloodstream, anchors in the heart, and flows down to the neural and neurological circuitry from your brain all the way through your body, down into your DNA in each cell, is your Atma, your spirit, your life force, which is who you are, is eternal life, eternal love, eternal beingness. Sense the life coursing through your veins. The aliveness of the coruscating corpuscles of light that resonate as you tune into your inner space, your inner bodies. With your eyes closed, you see there is no world. Your eyes are the projection lenses through which you project on the innocent and blank screen of creation the world according to your predilection. You are the camera that projects the seeming panorama of events. Each person living quite discreetly in their own world. And so inwardly you have universes, within universes that you travel in the realms that we call self-realization. When you realize the self, I am not a body. I am not my thoughts. I am not my emotions. I'm not my imagination. I'm not my body. What am I? Oh, I am that, which is behind all of these other things. That's what's called self-realization, when you awaken beyond body consciousness, emotional karma dramas, I like to call it. And then there's dimensions beyond your own personal creation, your own personal universes. And those are called the God realms that are completely unconditioned. That pure realm that we go into that simply is that which is. So at some point you pop out of your own egg, if you will, of consciousness, and you are birthed into the realms of the absolute. That is the point that Nirvikalpa Samadhi brings you to, which is just the platform for the next progression of expanded encompassment and embracement. And so as you attune to that immortal part of the self, and all you need to do is be in that awareness of that, this is the appropriate moment in which you take the authority over your own energy fields to clear them and to set in motion those things that you would like to see animated in your life. For example, greater clarity, greater sensitivity to the realms of spirit, greater discernment of energies, greater wisdom, and the ability to embody and anchor and practice it in your daily life. Greater awareness of the love and presence of God in you and through you. Greater freedom from the ego's agendas, needs and wishes and wants, discontents and complaints. Freedom from that, and the awareness to simply observe it, to where it simply dissolves in the light of your gaze. Only you, beloved, can deprive yourself of anything. There is no time set in the heavens when you're going to, quote, quote, ascend. Time, space, dimensions, growth, unfolding, all of that is meaningless to the self that is. These are all little stepping down points through which we have a temporary season in which we see life through that lens. And then hopefully we outgrow it. Many of you are living more than one lifetime in this embodiment. It's like having a whole series of many lives which are complete in themselves. And then it's like you reinvent yourself and you emerge in a whole different lens of consciousness. What you are doing is actually completing soul aspects of the oversoul that you've come through and from, the monad. Some people call that their spiritual family. You could call them that. You can use any terminology that works for you to get you through a season and a cycle of manifestation. Use things for what they're designed to do, and when they've accomplished whatever it is that you've needed them for, allow them to fall away. There was a season and a cycle in my life in which I said the rosary every night. It was a Catholic rosary when I was a child. Later on, it became a Hindu rosary that I repeated the names of God upon. But for me to go back to that now in this stage of my life would be like me trying to go back into kindergarten. What was the purpose of the rosary? It's a form of meditation in which you use the name of God to replace your thoughts. So if you have a monkey mind, which most of us do, it jumps from topic to topic with wild abandon, you learn to replace those thoughts, which mean absolutely nothing and just create a lot of static. You replace those thoughts with a repetition of the name of God. What name of God? Any name of God. Many, 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 many mantras. Good Christian one is Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord and Savior. I use that a lot. Or Jesus, I love you. But you can use many, many mantras. Every world religion has their own mantras. And that's how you end thought. Your mind, your lower ego mind that projects all of your pain and sorrow and suffering and differences and agitations, actually gives up under the repetitive insertion of the name of God, the frequency of the name of God. Gradually, gradually, the vibrations of that name of God consumes the karma that represents itself as agitated thought. worries, concerns, desires. But there's a time when that's accomplished. And so you lay aside the rosary. It's become obsolete at that point. And you move to what's next. I'm in a stage now where I like absolute silence. There was a stage one time when I liked music. I like to listen to music or guided meditations. I don't like any of that now. I just like to sit in the silence. Of course, I hear the sound of God within me. But there's no thought. There's no desire. There's no agenda. It's nothing I need or want or I'm seeking. I just become available to soak in the divine presence. I soak in it. It's too deep to utter even a prayer. My heart itself has become in a state of continual adoration. It took a while to get there. It didn't start out like that. And so you apply the appropriate spiritual practice for where you find yourself. And since we are gods behaving humanly, how does a human behave? A human behaves as if God were something that's an option, something and someone that's unknown and unknowable that sits off somewhere distant, someone or something that one can propitiate or try to get favors from by going to a particular ritual each week in a certain gathering, in a certain building, and do a certain rigmarole. And humans believe that there's a world out there, a world that can deprive them and upset them and hurt them and ultimately kill them. And none of that is true. Not one of those things that I have said just now is true. But that's what makes the human a human rather than a human, capital H for Hugh, the divine name of God, and man, which is universal and galactic with a capital M. The Adam Kadmon, the divine image and similitude. So stay in that mindfulness, because it's in practicing divine mindfulness, letting the divine fill our mind, that reality and that which is perceived. And when you enter into divine forgetfulness, you've entered into illusion and deception. So it's very simple. Just bring your mind back to the awareness that wherever you are, God is. God lives in you as you. God speaks through your mouth, thinks through your thoughts, feels through your emotions, and is served in the many, many walking temples that are also God's abode. You are God's house. God lives inside you. Not in a church, not up in the sky, not in the clouds, not in a spaceship. God dwells fully in a human being, up to 85%. What's the 15%? Well, probably the whatever it goes into making a body in terms of its earthly components, chemical components. But the Atma permeates every cell of your being through your DNA. Now, an animal contains 15% divinity. they function out of a group soul that gradually becomes individualized at a certain point in each major cycle of unfoldment in time and space. So the human being, when you have earned the right to have a human birth, it's so that you can transcend behaving humanly and begin to realize and behave divinely. So the first place to move into that is to become truly who you are. Begin to really ask yourself, who am I? What am I? What's the dharma for my life? The right action, the right livelihood, the right engagement for me to be involved with right now. Because if you authentically stay present with your process in divine attunement to present process, just staying present here and now, one step in front of the next, next breath, whatever's in front of you, you know, just deal with that, stay here and now. That's all you have to do, and do the best you can with what you've got on your plate. That's it. And then, if you don't want to build any karma into your actions, offer the fruit of your action, your activity, to God. If you do just that, He will be a Jivan Mukta. He will be walking the earth in a human form, but you will be free. You will not create residue, residual, and repercussion from your movements and your actions and your words. All you need to do is pay attention. Be attentive to what you're saying, what you're doing. To move into that soul awareness, bring your awareness just to the point of an objective observer, a witness self. Participate in your life through the witness. That means you just watch what's going on. You don't get down into the ego, which is always critiquing, comparing, questioning, what-ifing, doubting, blaming. All of that is part of that human ego, the lower mind, which is the form that the ego self takes. And when I speak of the word ego, I'm not talking about a sense of self. I'm speaking of that belief that you're separate, that there's an enemy, which of course engenders fear. Whenever you believe there's a separation between yourself and another, that's where fear comes in. But if you realize we're all one, one life, one heart, one blood, one breath, one planet, one global family, one divine sound that sings and rings and has created all things, it's the living word, one living light that gives life and vitality and illumination to all minds. I like Sai Baba's example that God is the electrical current that lights all of the light bulbs being the human bodies, the human vehicles. And of course, that's a good one because you have all different sizes of light bulbs and all different forms of wattage. And that's a perfect example because obviously we have brighter light bulbs than others. We have older souls. We have souls that have perfected their light to such an extent that they, when they leave this time, they can't come back because they're too highly evolved. Or if they do come back, they appear in as an avatar and then disappear out when the time comes. So many of you are actually, believe it or not, in that lifetime that is your last one here. This is your time. This is not about being a success in the material world. It's not about holding on for dear death to your mortgage or your savings and your investments or whatever, your portfolios. Let it all go if it's going to go. You can't control it one way or the other. It's going to do what it's going to do. We're in the time of the dimensional collapsing of all that has confined our magnificence. All of the lower constructs that have been born out of greed and ego and agenda and human againstness and warfare and bloodshed, all of that is going down the drain now. It's just a matter of time before all of those old systems must be replaced with a better way, a more efficient usage of energy, time, and space. In fact, many of us are moving beyond time and even spatial concepts. I, quite frankly, can no longer relate to this whole concept of spaceships, which may seem quite strange since I am the voice of the Ashtar Command. But I don't talk about these things because they have absolutely no reality whatsoever from the level from which I'm speaking and the level that I wish to animate and activate in my listeners. I'm speaking to divine beings to awaken and to assist you to step free of all of those illusory beliefs that you keep putting outside as your savior, as your source of rescue, if you will, or distraction. Basically, those are distractions. All of this putting outside of yourself into something or someone else has got to go. That's part of the disillusioning. That's why so many of these things that people project in their prophetic fantasies don't come to pass. That's why we are going into a period that is clean and free of prophecy. It's free of it. Prophecy has to do with looking at the past and seeing it unfold in the future, which has already been completed in spirit. We don't need prophecy now. We need to realize the innate perfection and wholeness that we've always had. But if we keep looking for a prophet or a psychic or a medium or a channel or a ascended master or a space god or something to tell us what is real and true and what's going to happen in our future, we're in absolute, complete, total maya, complete illusion, complete samsara. And because we're allowed to have any kind of a picture that we wish to create, we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we can have it our way. Ultimately, we have to have it our way. So if you insist upon putting something outside of yourself, you will insist upon holding it in place. If you insist that the stock market really contains your survival, then you'll keep propping up that dead horse again and again and again, and the rest of us will go on to a universe that doesn't have any money, that doesn't have any stock markets, and doesn't need it, because we're quite frankly tired of it. We don't want to put our support in an outer form made in bricks of golden bullion or little stacks of metal discs or little strips of paper. What nonsense. That's your support? That's your source? That's your security? Wow. I think we've had enough examples to show how quickly that can go down the drain. That house is your security? That land? Wow, we've sure seen a lot of lands and a lot of houses swept away with water and floods and fires and wind and tornadoes. Don't you think this is a collective experience that we have co-created to wake us up? So we quit putting our attachment and our whole validation of self into material objects? Isn't that idolatry? When you replace the sense of divine awareness with attachment to form, I think that's what we call idolatry. And those idols have to go now. All of them. And they are. So what's the dharma of a spiritual person living in the material world still? You still wake up. You still have to comb your hair. You still have to put on your pants and go to work. Well, you are where you are until you're not. And you do what you do until you don't. And meanwhile, be here now and stay present with your process. Present with it in a neutral, clear state. Don't color it negative or evil or anything else. Just be present and see how you can work it divinely. See how you can work it so that it works for you and for your advancement and your enhancement and the enhancement of the lives of others around you. Your age, your gender, and what you have in your immediate life defines pretty much your duty. If you're in a young body, your duty is to obey your parents, obey your teachers, and prepare yourself to be a responsible person in your environment, and to prepare yourself to take care of yourself so that you can assist in taking care of others and not be a drain and a burden on anyone. That's your dharma if you're a youth. If you're a young adult, your dharma is to ply your trade, develop your whatever it is your contribution in your life. Do it with integrity. Do it to the best of your ability. If you want to marry, that's the time to find your mate. If you want to have children, that's the time to build your family. Then your dharma is to raise your children. Until they are 18 to 20 years of age, that is your primary duty, is to fit your children for life in this world. But more importantly than fitting them for life in this world is to at the same time continually teach them that they are divine incarnations. And to teach them how to live in a divine way. If you don't, they will not hear it. If you're a self-realized parent and you're not teaching your children self-realization, they're not going to get it from anyone else, because you rarely find anybody in the outer world that is self-realized. And those of us that are the celestial emissaries that have come back in time to be part of this massive quickening and transformation and dimensional acceleration and outpicturing into a new earth and a new era and a renaissance period, a millennial renaissance, if you will. We are the ancient rishis, sages, gurus, masters. Even though we're mucking about doing whatever job we're doing, and we don't have the swami robes on, and we don't have the pope hats, and we're not doing any of that shtick. But we are the real teachers and the real way showers at this time, because the way showers have come out of the caverns and the caves and the ashrams and the desert solitudes. That's what it means, the externalization of the hierarchy. We have been hidden behind the scenes for 94,000 years. And so now we are externalizing again into the outer world. That's why we're not to look to spaceships to land. We're not to look to something from the sky to come down and do it for us. We're the ones that came down from the sky to do it for us. We're the ones. We're the celestial and planetary lords of light. We're on Earth. The Ashtar Command has landed. You are the Ashtar Command. You are the ones that are the grunt team, the blood, sweat, and tears team that goes in and brings the new systems, the new inventions, the new transformative techniques, the new dialoguing, the new information, whatever it is that is your lot in life, you're here to gift it to humanity. In that authentic gifting of you as who you truly are, as a self-realized divine being, and that whatever it is that you, of your own consciousness and spirit, bequeath to this earth, that is your particular color into the collective painting that is forming now, the collective or tapestry. I like the weaving of a tapestry. Each of us lends our threads of consciousness and input into that beautiful design. So your dharma and your duty is to do what you do until you don't. Be where you are until you're not. And in the meantime, love it all. Be here now and love it all. Bless it all. You are the ones that have come to bless and to love and to impart God's heart here on earth and towards your fellow brothers and sisters. It says very clearly in the Bible that we are known as people of God by our love one for another. One for another. So, when another human comes at you with agenda, boy, you can see them coming. They're not coming to be with you. They are using you as a platform through which to launch their agenda. I'm sure you've been disappointed many times, as I have, to have a friend from your past, someone you haven't talked to for years, and they call you out of the blue, and you're so excited to hear about them. But no, they don't want to hear about you. And they don't want you to hear about them. They've come to enlist you into one of their multi-level things that they're selling. Oh, I just hate it when that happens. And I know you do, too. It's agenda. It's like, oh, well, they didn't want to talk to me. They just wanted me to come to their workshop or buy their vitamins or whatever. And it's like such a disappointment. So the soul, the divine being that we are, has no lack, no desire, no need, no want, and no agenda. It doesn't want to sell you anything. It doesn't want to jump in bed with you. It doesn't want anything from you. It just leaves you alone. It adores you. It sees the divinity in you, and it leaves you free. That is the sign of being with a self-realized person, is that they leave you alone. They don't try to influence you. They don't try to coerce you. They don't try to get you into their God box or get you into, talk about an oxymoron. What a dichotomy to kill somebody because they won't accept your form of God. I mean, how crazy is that, to murder somebody because they will not accept your religion? You know what that is? That's being driven by what's called religious demonic spirits that cause people to kill other people because of their religious conversion or lack thereof. It's happening, and you know, it's like a disease that's been spreading in various nations now. And it seems like practically no religion is exempt. So this is really, really the debased human consciousness at its lowest worst. This fanatical agenda to enforce and coerce and demand that people do it your way or they die. This is growing in this world, this anti-whatever it is. This is why we are absolutely called at this time to wake up and be self-realized. We're absolutely called to step out of the human karma. In fact, your inability to change is your karma. If it wasn't your karma, you could change it. So your duty is to do everything in your power to deal with whatever is your limitation, whatever is your grievance, whatever is your negative state. Your duty is to deal with it until it's healed or released or absolved or dissolved. You don't just keep feeding it. And the more energy you put into it, the more you repeat that addictive pattern, whatever it is, the more you reinforce it. And then it becomes locked into a karmic pattern that you have to reincarnate on a level where that can be fulfilled. And you're trapped. You're not free. So that's why only you can take hold of your life, can take hold of your mind, can take hold of your emotions, can take hold of your physical body, and can direct it in a positive way that is divinely mindful. And you go where you need to get the help that you need to get free. And that's where those of us in various forms of ministry can minister to each other. But for heaven's sakes, don't look at people as potential customers, potential clients. Everybody can sense agenda. That's why we actually don't like to see people with Bible tracts and missionaries that come knocking on our door. We know full well they haven't come to share Christian love with us. They've come to launch agenda and to make us feel bad if we don't embrace their agenda. This is totally anti-Christ behavior, by the way. Did Jesus ever once do that? Ever once did he do that? No. Did Jesus ever say, if you don't become a Christian, you're going to burn in hell for eternity? No. He never mentioned religion. He only mentioned that the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's that dharma we're speaking of. And it's that joy that comes from being who you are and living in that dharma. And it's the right usedness of everything, the righteousness, the right use of your life stream, which is to know, love, and serve the divine. Know, love, and serve the divine in yourself and in every single living temple that walks this earth. God dwells in every single heart. You don't click, then go to God. That's not the way that works. You come to the divine as you are. That divine washes you clean and sets you on a new path. So even the religions have gotten in the way of our divinity. That which had the very duty of revealing the love of God to us has become one more confinement, one more block between us and the knowing of self. Because then we think, oh, well, we have to join a church or an organization, or we have to follow a guru, or we have to stand on our head or eat vegetables or do something. Did Jesus ever once teach that? I mean, he's our model. Jesus the Christ is our model for all of us, whether you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Buddhist or an atheist or whatever you are. Jesus the Christ is the perfect human, the perfect divine being that was also a perfect human being. And that is the model that we are always to reference to. If he didn't do it, we don't do it. Period. Just that simple. That is the one form that we can unerringly follow with absolute assurance that we'll be on the right track. But that form, you see, placed its spirit right within you, so you wouldn't have the idolatry of following the outer personality. That's why he said, it's good that I go to my Father. If I don't go to the Father, then the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that will be with you, that will show you all things, that will reveal to you my deepest teachings, that will reveal to you the mysteries of God. If I don't go, that Holy Spirit cannot come and give you that power, that same power I had. You will be endued with that same power, and you will go forth to all the nations and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come, and the kingdom of God dwells in you as you. So that kingdom has come. That hierarchy has externalized. That Christ has returned. That Christ dwells in you as you. That anointed one. The Christ is the anointed one. So in getting that anointing out, in being true to that self that we are, we really are called to do it our way. We can't do it anyone else's way. If you live a deceptive life where you're trying to please somebody, we're trying to curry someone's favor, even if it's God, that's not an authentic spiritual life. God is pleased when you are truly thrilled and full of life and full of energy and participation in your life. Then God is pleased. Then God is fully glorified when you are fully lit up, turned on, and living life to the full. We won't regret the things we didn't do, but we certainly will regret the things we did do, but we certainly will regret the things we didn't do. So now is the time to do the things that you know in your heart you are here to do. Bearing in mind that there's a season and a cycle for all things. Some of you who've come back in time from the future are very anxious to get on with your mission right now. And you may be in a season of testing and tempering and preparation so that you can hold the energy of your mission. You know, if we put too much energy through you and you're not strong and your physical karmic weaknesses have not been dealt with and cleansed and brought into some measure of control, you're going to fall on your face. You're going to crash your mission. It's not going to be pretty. So you do need to do the work, whatever it is that you're being guided to do, to prepare yourself. That's why you meditate. That's why you pray. That's why you chant. That's why you take human potential workshops and why you do different things. Everybody's guided differently. I personally have invested thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in my spiritual development. I've read hundreds of books. I've studied with every really good teacher on the planet. I've traveled around the world 20 times. Always. To sit with the most illumined, the brightest, the most aware individuals I could find. So there's also a dharma that you have to always be in a particular association that enhances where you know that you're meant to go. I call these lineage affinities. You have lineage affinities, and again. It's not to become like a little duck following again like you did maybe in ancient times. Same old, but in fact many of these souls that have incarnated, for example, in lineages like Tibetan Buddhism, for example, or different forms of Buddhism where, you know, the last breath becomes then the next breath in the next body, and you just keep getting born again and again into that religious lineage. Many of those souls are now taking birth in a whole different culture, a whole different religion, or maybe no religion, and a whole different format. And it's so interesting. I meet them all the time, and they're totally self-realized. You know, they're self-realized, but they could be the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, or whatever. but they, you know, they're not doing that religious lineage thing in this lifetime, but they have the residual, they have the wisdom with them. I remember my little girl, she would sit in a perfect Padmasana, you know, with the little feet are turned up in cross legs, and the little feet are nested like the yogis, and her little fingers would be in the chin mudra where the forefinger and the thumb are joined. She would sit like that from the time she was, and I don't sit like that, you know, when I meditate, but she did. She just automatically go into those little positions. Little yogis, you know, just natural-born little yogis. But I didn't enforce that. I didn't discourage it. I just let it alone. So it's good to leave your children alone to see what their nature is, what their proclivity is, what their lineage affinities are as they begin to develop. Again, a free soul is free. And when you're free, you just move in joy and serenity and humor and peace and great centeredness and mindful awareness. And because of your presence on the earth in that state of consciousness, you are the best assurance that our world will not go into chaos that could possibly ever be given. There is nothing that you can do that is of greater service to the planet at this time than to be joyful and to be centered in the peace of God. Whatever you need to do to stay in joy and centered peace, do it, because that is the greatest need on our planet today. With such a plethora of fear and so many people going into real desperate straits, due to the changes and shifts going on the planet, we absolutely must have those levels of our life handled so that we can be present as the peace of God. Just, you know, if you can't do anything about it, release it. What is yours will stay, and what you need will come to you. It's the law of the universe. When you're fulfilling your particular place and your spot in your Dharma, you are supported. It's just the way it is. The way it works throughout nature. So be the peace and the love of God, and be a source of strength to the people in your environment. That's the greatest mission you can possibly fulfill. And then you will be a human behaving divinely. And that's, of course, the whole objective, is to import divinity down in through the human vehicle and live it to the full. So your duty in terms of what's happening in the political arena is to vote your conscience, vote your guidance, vote your values, whatever it is that's important to you that you find in common with whoever is out there to be voted for. That's your duty. It's not to sit back. It's to pray for the candidates, to pray for the people who are voting, and to vote. Just that simple. But not to obsess about it, not to allow it to distract you from the divine play. The leaders that are elected into office have the karma dharma of learning how to be effective leaders. That's their job. Your job is to support whoever you elect into office. Not to badmouth them, not to criticize them, not to do psychic attacks on them. You voted them in or not, at least the mass consciousness did. So your duty is to do the best you can with what you've got until you have the opportunity to bring in a different guard, different change. So these are just really practical things. But one of the characteristics of the truly spiritual people is that they're very grounded and practical. They're mystical and practical at the same time. So practice divine attentiveness to present process and stay present in the moment, mindful of your divinity and the divinity and perfection of everyone around you and everything around you, and you will indeed be God's behaving divinely in the human arena. And we are moving into that dimensional overlay, which will be the golden age. And we're here only for that purpose this lifetime. That's our override and our mission. So let's go out chanting Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. God bless you. God willing, I'll be with you next week. Adonai.